One of the highlights for me at Digital Fight Club this week was meeting Sean Rathbone from Three-Headed Monster, the founder.
Sean's a fun guy. He certainly is a leader in his industry, and you and he definitely get along well. Probably a brother from another mother.
Yep. I thought it was funny because, you know, we were in there kind of in the middle of everybody, and we're kind of scoping out the place and looking for people to meet. We don't, you know, we don't know everybody, you know, we don't know anyone there. I don't think we met anyone we actually knew, but we ended up meeting about 10 or 12 good, you know, good contacts, great people. And I remember I kept, you know, jumping out of conversations. There's a couple of people you saw from the past and there we were talking to, trying to get Mark Cuban's attention, trying to get in front of him, trying to get in front of Andrew Hopkins and in front of Gurmeet and all those guys. And then I come back and I see you talking to this guy over there that had a shirt on that was intriguing to me. It looked like something crossed from like a heavy metal band or Game of Thrones or something. And I look at you and I could tell the look on your face. I'm like, this is a guy I need to talk to. He's like, it's like you found the right guy.
Yeah, I found Eric's brother over there and Sean.
Yeah, he's awesome. So he was super cool. We got to talk to him for quite a bit. And then we told him about the podcast and asked him to come back and if he would do an interview with us. So we got him on the phone yesterday. So, you know, the first question we had to ask him, you know, is how he felt about, you know, the format of the venue and the event. And, you know, he had a lot of good things to say about it.
I thought it was really smart. We've all seen a million boring panel discussions, and you know, the fight format just makes it interesting and makes it fun for everybody.
I asked if he thought they should have opened up to the audience.
The tightness of the timing of the whole thing added a tension to it, and even a comedic tension that maybe wouldn't have been there if they had opened it up and let it drag on longer.
Could you feel the crowd getting into it?
For sure, you could feel it. I mean, you know, you couldn't see much because of the lighting, but you could. You knew when you had a zinger, and you knew when your opponent had a zinger.
So another thing that was cool that stood out with a lot of these fight cards was the way they introed them to the stage. They had cool music like we were talking about earlier in the program today. What did he come out to? You remember what band was that?
AC/DC, one of the blasts from the past.
Yeah, that's right. It was cool. It was interesting to see what each person chose. There's probably some kind of study of some marketing study that we could have done during this whole thing to see, you know, profile what someone looks like, what you know about them, and predict what music they picked. But we talked to Sean a little bit about the music that he wanted to pick and versus the music he did pick, and it's pretty interesting.
Well, I chose Wu-Tang Clan, but somebody had accentuated it because there's naughty words in it. So I went to AC/DC, which I figured would have some attitude but wouldn't get anybody in trouble.
Yeah, naughty words. I had to think about that too. You know, we walk around the office here and we listen to people or we walk past people listening to this podcast and they're listening to it on their speakers. I'm like, you know, I'm not really offended by the F word, but you notice I did put the edited version in there because it'd probably get listened to a lot more often if a few of those four-letter words and other words weren't blaring on people's speakers at work. All right, and then we moved on to talk about his topic. What was his roundabout?
Sean actually had to battle on the digital storytelling narrative in the third fight card.
That's right. So he gives us a breakdown of what digital storytelling is and, you know, talks about how marketers need to be more interactive with their with the crowd out there.
Obviously, there are, we all know the changes that technology has brought to our industry and to culture. So the arguments for the consumer having more power than ever are pretty obvious if you're in marketing.
Yep.
But I took the counterpoint in that, yeah, that's all great, but don't believe the hype.
Don't believe the hype. That's what Sean says.
Smart brand. I still can, you know, I won't say control. I don't think anybody's in control of anything, but they still can lead their conversation and they can still lead the narrative, but they have to understand what modern storytelling looks like. And my point was to draw lessons from interactive storytelling, the gaming industry.
Yep.
You know, I talked about the roots in Dungeons and Dragons and the crowd seemed to get a kick out of that. A bunch of geeks in the crowd who knew D&D. And modern video games have been outselling Hollywood for 20 years. It's because, you know, there's something cool when you write a master narrative, but then you allow for a little bit of improv and personalization underneath it. So you feel like you got skin in the game. And I've just, you know, I'm a writer nerd and I'm a gamer, and I've always thought that our business needed to go that way. It's sort of like, when they build skyscrapers, they build a little bit of wiggle in the building so that when the wind blows, the building doesn't fall over. And I kind of think that's how we have to think in campaigns. We have to allow for the consumer to wiggle a little bit, because they're gonna. So I think surrendering the narrative is stupid. It's ridiculous to surrender the narrative. There's no need to do it. But I also think that people who are still thinking that it's 1988 and you can hide behind a 30-second TV spot don't get it either. But to me, it's a really exciting time to be in the business. I mean, with our agency, Three Headed Monster, it wasn't just a talking point in a debate. It's really how we try to approach campaigns. So I'm living this experiment every day, and how I creative direct the campaigns we do at Three Headed Monster, and I believe in it.
You know, it's interesting. He really gets in a master narrative, and it starts to make me think of, you know, he talks about, you know, controlling the messaging and understanding the consumer better. But it starts making me think that, you know, where he comes from, where you and I come from, we grew up on video games and MTV and the internet and all of those things. And that's a totally different breed of marketer now dictating what's marketed back to us.
Yeah, consumer behavior, is that driving the narrative? Do they control the narrative from the marketing standpoint? Or does the marketer, with their experience, know how to drive the story better? Great debate between these two folks in this battle card.
Yeah, it was good. We'll have to try and get Avashi on here one time. I think one of the most important questions that we talked about, you know, that age-old question, we had to ask him, how did it feel to be beat by a girl?
I don't mind. Girls are cool. And the industry needs more strong women in leadership positions, so I support that. But, you know, it's all good. It was a good fight. We had the closest fight. And frankly, I think that crowd, Digital Dallas, that crowd was definitely home court advantage for someone arguing that the empowered consumer is in control. I think I did okay considering the crowd.
I think this may be the home of the entitled consumer.
I think that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
So then we transition from the empowered or empowering the consumer. And then my word of the week, or my term of the week, is entitled consumer. You heard it here first, or second, or third. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, Dallas is the entitled community. Come on.
Yeah, I think last week I said digital entitlement. That was it last week. Now it's entitled consumer. So then we went into some of the more fun topics, analogies that Sean has. Great quotes, great analogies. So then we started getting those little nerd drops. Is that a real term, too? Did I just make that up?
Sounds good to me.
Nerd drops. I don't know. That sounds like a candy. I don't know. I'll have to work on that one. So we got into some D&D references, and I think my favorite, some Red Wedding Game of Thrones references. Let's hear about that.
I threw down some Game of Thrones. I did. Well, you know, she was going data. Mm-hmm. So I made the point, you know, obviously data is amazing. We care about data. My strategy director's got her nose in data all day long. But there's just a limit to it. You can't stop there, was the point I was making. Because the point I made was that the consumer, you know, they could tell you a lot, but they have no imagination, you know. Mm-hmm. And I used the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones. It's kind of a fun a crowd-activating example of, you know, would data have ever suggested killing off two of the Starks in one episode? No, the affinity score, the affinity scores are too high, you know, and I cracked some obnoxious joke about data would have suggested starting a rom-com with the Stark family, right. You know.
Yeah, only Sean can correlate rom-coms and Game of Thrones together.